Bureau Boys is an improvised detective serial. Every Monday morning, the Bureau Boys solve crimes based on clues sent in by their informants.
That's you! Go to thebureauboys.com to submit your clues, informant.
Thanks to informant Jen for this week's clue for the case of the batty billionaire, Zipper.
When we last left the Bureau Boys, Peter Albright had been charging into the Guatemalan jungle atop a South American deer.
I think it's a Guatemalan deer, narrator, to be more specific.
Central American, then. That's right. Thanks, narrator. Those geography lessons are really paying off.
And the boys attempted to mount a parrot to pursue the fleeing Peter Albright. But before they could take flight, they heard the whisper of a soft voice beside them.
The voice told them that Peter Albright had fled to fulfill a mysterious prophecy.
Well, I was wondering when someone would show up for me.
Are you Mrs. Peter Albright?
Gwendolyn Albright is fine.
Okay, but just to be clear, are you Mrs. Gwendolyn married to Peter Albright?
Well, yes, technically, legally, yes.
We've been looking for you. Well, I mean, we've been casually looking for you for the past few days, Mrs. Albright. Or Gwendolyn.
I've been here at the Casa del Rey 5-star resort for the last 4 years and 9 months.
What have you been doing, other than taking advantage of the open bar?
We see a stiff drink and Gwendolyn Albright's left hand and a
second stiff drink in her right hand.
Well, you know, there's not much to do. It's a small town here in Guatemala, the town that we're in.
Detective Potter recognizes that Gwendolyn Albright is a little bit drunk, so he forces her to get to the point. Get to the point, Gwendolyn! Detective Riley dumps a pail of water that he had kept from that plant incident a little while ago over Gwendolyn's head to sober her up.
Oh, my shoes. My husband left me with only a charge card that works here at Casa del Rey, the 5-star hotel.
Yes, we know about Casa del Rey, Bucks.
I've been land-trapped, waiting for someone to come and rescue me.
Land-trapped? Gwendolyn, Guatemala is... There's sea everywhere.
The only sea I see is the sea-shaped pool outside my room window.
Gwendolyn, I need you to focus. First of all, I need you to walk this line.
Detective Potter administers a quick sobriety test to Gwendolyn, for any drunken testimony will not hold up in court, as everybody knows.
Okay, that's great. Good job. Now, I need you to tell me more about this prophecy. Where is Peter Albright going?
Oh, the prophecy, of course. Of course, he's going to the Hunters Club, favorite resort.
Detective Riley, the Hunters Club. The Hunters Club, do you remember that they were embroiled in that scandal?
Yes,
hunted
of course.
People for sport.
Yes,
right?
But they were never convicted.
No.
I just want to state that for the record.
Yes, because you can't convict a club and no one knows the individual members of the Hunters Club. You can't just convict a whole club, Detective Riley. Come on, who would you even sue?
Hopefully the club owner.
Oh, good point. But no one knows who he is.
Right.
Detective Riley, that's the point.
It's a loose affiliation, I get it. Yeah, so he's going to the Hunters Club. It's located in the desert.
The Guatemalan desert?
Yes, there's a small patch of arid land.
Are you talking about the beach? Is it right next to the sea?
Well, it does. It leads to a very large oasis, so as far as the eye can see.
Are you talking, is the oasis the ocean? Gwendolyn, can you just show us on this map? Come with us. Come on, grab onto this parrot. Gwendolyn, you can sober up on the way there. Maybe you'll be more coherent. Can you direct us to where this place is from the air?
I'll get off of my horse and I'll get on top of your parrot.
Thank you. So, Gwendolyn climbs on top of what is a shockingly large parrot. The boys each grab one of the parrot's legs. The parrot, with a mighty whoosh, takes flight and soars into the Guatemalan clouds. What? They have clouds there, don't they?
Of course they do. And they're thicker than North American clouds. Fluffier. So the boys soar and soar, trading stories as they fly. And then, below, they see a small speck kicking up dust behind him.
But before they land on the small speck, Detective Riley has time to finish his last story.
So there we were.
Yeah. You were in the desert, okay?
I only had a shiv from the prison escape.
And your canteen? Don't forget about your canteen.
Oh, I had my canteen loaded up with the sweat of my own brow.
And had she found her bra yet?
She was still topless.
Okay.
And those nipples were pointy.
Uh-huh.
And then we both looked at each other and said, now that's a movie.
The Bureau Boys land on the ground just in front of a charging Peter Albright.
Okay, that was a great story, Detective Riley, but we gotta stop this guy.
Narrator, just to be clear, it kind of wasn't that great of a story, but Detective Potter was trying to be nice.
He's like that, you know? He's a good dude. So's Detective Riley, even though he can't tell a story very well. Peter Albright's deer skids to a halt just in front of the Bureau Boys and Gwendolyn.
And behind Peter Albright looms a stony castle mounted on the shores of the Pacific.
And narrator, by behind Peter Albright, do you mean he was charging towards this stony castle?
Right, but he turned around.
Yeah, he did like a hockey stop on that deer where his butt was facing the Bureau Boys. So they run around to the front of the deer. Just picture this. So the Bureau Boys are looking at Peter Albright on this deer. Behind Peter Albright is a beautiful stony castle. Got it?
I get it.
Well. If it isn't Peter Albright, or should I call you the Ants in the Pants CEO, Peter Albright? Wait a minute. That's more respectful.
Yeah.
Detective Riley, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, you own the Ants in the Pants company. You're the big boss man, and you can control vines.
Yeah, you
but
probably
we
make
broke
like
those vines.
A couple $1 million every quarter, don't you, Peter Albright? You big shot. You probably could buy and sell both of us, couldn't you?
And you thought you had the Guatemalan cops in your back pocket. Well, we threw them back in another pocket.
Now we have the Guatemalan cops in our pocket.
Yeah. And you're gonna pay for what you've done.
Mrs. Albright had plenty more drinks on the flight to see her husband, who had abandoned her.
Detective Riley, I told you to sober up Gwendolyn on the ride over. What did you do to her?
I had my flask in my back pocket and she was riding behind me, so I guess she kind of, it's empty.
Oh, damn it.
And it was full of two different kinds of whiskey. So that was like, you know, if like one whiskey's 40% proof and another whiskey that is also 40, that's like 80%.
It makes 160% proof.
Right.
Okay, listen, Gwendolyn, Peter, first of all, aren't you shocked to see each other? Do you even recognize each other?
Gwendolyn.
Yeah.
I told you to.
Not all at once.
Speak to me.
Gwendolyn, you raging alcoholic. I told you to stay at the resort.
I did. I waited for you. Almost 5 long years. You never came back. You didn't even... You just sent me cryptic messages about geese and the prophecy. I've been so tired waiting for you. There's only so much a woman can drink and sunbathe and have sex with pool boys.
Sorry. Before you go on, also, Gwendolyn, you look phenomenal. By the way, I guess that's what a millionaire can buy, huh, Detective Riley? Okay, listen. I just had a lightning bolt moment. Do you think, Detective Riley, that Peter Albright thinks that geese are parrots or parrots are geese? And maybe that's why he's been, like, I mean, look at the size of this parrot that we rode in on.
Wait a minute, Detective Potter, I think you're onto something. I think there's something wrong with Peter Albright's brain, where he's mistaken a geese for a parrot, and he's tried to communicate with his wife using geese, which he thought were parrots. Parrots, as we know, are great messenger birds. But these geese kept failing, therefore he had to kill them out of rage.
Exactly, Detective Riley, because he hasn't heard back from his wife in, lo, these 5 years. So he's sending all these what he thinks are parrots that can deliver his message by speech to his wife. They're never showing up because he's not, or he thinks they're never showing up because he's not hearing back from his wife. So whose fault is it? He blames the parrots. Should we ask him these questions?
I think we're doing great on our own, but we should get some outside input.
Okay, Peter, yes or no, was what we said all accurate?
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, that's spot on. I knew they were geese, but I thought they were parrots, so I kept saying, where's the geese?
Wait a minute. I feel like you unwound what I was saying. You call parrots geese, in my theory. You just think that geese, you either think that geese can talk like parrots, or you mistake parrots for geese. Either way, we were right, what I said, right?
Yeah, no, right, 100%. Yeah, that you spot on.
Nailed it, Detective Riley.
Keep going. Keep unraveling the case, gents. What else do you think you know?
Okay, Detective Riley, do you want to broach the Batman villain subject?
I have something to say.
Yes, please, Gwendolyn.
There's a lot of shit covering my balcony from all the messages from my husband.
So you have been getting those messages?
No, they just come, they come in. Have you ever heard a goose speak? It's incoherent.
Sorry, just to back up. So, Peter Albright, bear with me, Detective Riley. Peter Albright thinks that geese can speak like parrots. So he's trying to teach these geese to deliver an audible message to his wife, and he's sending these geese, thinking they have the same capabilities as parrots, to his wife, and the geese are shitting on his wife's balcony. Yes?
And I try to send these geese back with a message to my husband that I'm ready to come home. I think it's been long enough. The authorities are not on to us anymore.
Authorities?
With the Guatemalan authorities for, you know, the bank robbery.
Bank robbery? Do we know about that, Detective Riley?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure we knew about that. Because that's he used that for the seed money, right?
Right.
For the Ants in the Pants company.
Wait a minute.
Check your notes.
We did not know that they were the ones that were connected to it. Definitely until just now, though.
Right. Okay, so now that's nailed down. Boom.
Okay, good.
In the back.
Okay, sorry, Gwendolyn. Keep going. Keep wrapping up all these loose ends.
I'm supposed to be the one accompanying my husband to the top of the spiral, where the prophecy will come true, and all of those animals will wreak havoc on the earth for us.
The spiral? You mean the top of that castle just behind Peter Albright?
Yes. We both love the outdoors, right, Peter?
I'm the outdoor king.
We want to reclaim that from the humans. And the only way to do that is with an undead army of animals.
That makes perfect sense to me, Gwendolyn. Detective Riley, can I talk to you for 1 second?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, I just want to get this out of the way right now. Remember how Marbles kept saying that Peter would spend all day staring at the sun?
Yes.
Do you think he was looking for a message back from his wife?
Yeah.
That's what I mean, because where else would it come from? If he he was going to get a messenger goose back from his wife.
He probably thought the goose fly too close to the sun. It would never make it back. And then, of course, the goose would eventually show up and would have some gobbledygook garbled message infuriating Peter because he had to stare at the sun all day. And so out of rage, he killed that goose.
Okay, also, Detective Riley, do you think it matters if we know how Gwendolyn knew the geese were messengers from her husband, since they can't actually deliver messages, or should we even bother following that thread?
I could tell that they were North American geese. They weren't from Guatemala.
Oh, that's a long flight.
Well, I think that clears that up. No, hold on. Now let's get... Thank you, Gwendolyn. You've been extremely helpful in tying up those loose ends, but now... Back to you, Peter. Why? Why the Batman? Why are you such a villain? Why do you love the Batman villain so much?
Well, as you all know and can see, I'm famously bald. And being a rich, bald, Millionaire, billionaire, millionaire. I constantly get mistaken for Lex Luthor. And I hate the Superman franchise. Superman, he has no weaknesses. Where's the interesting thing in that? You can't beat Superman.
Detective Potter, is that the one who wears the ring with he's green?
Oh. No, I'll explain it to you later. He's rowing.
No, keep whispering to yourselves when you're interrogating a suspect who has a Guatemalan deer, which, by the way, are the fastest deer in Central America, and can get away from you at any point.
And he also has a super hot wife. Detective Riley, did you see the rack on Gwendolyn, by the way?
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm trying to, like, the minute Peter turns his back, I'm scamming on that.
It's distracting. Sorry. Yes. Sorry, Peter. Go.
Wait, what are you guys saying about how hot my wife is?
Yes. It's like super hot. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, I can appreciate that. But, sorry, Lex Luthor, hate Superman, love Batman, because Batman loses to the villain sometimes. And what better way to know what villain I should be associated with than trying them all on at once?
Good point.
Wait, so you've been trying to narrow down the one you're most aligned with? Kind of like a villain gender, if you will.
Or like going to a bunch of different, like a synagogue and then like a Hindu temple and then like a Catholic church and trying on all the different religions before you settle on one of them. Or, Detective Riley, in our case, paganism.
Which, by the way, the Guatemalan deer features heavily in my tarot deck.
Wow. As an artist of the tarot, what does it mean when you get the Guatemalan deer, detective?
I'll handle this one, Detective Riley. Well, the Guatemalan deer, as you know, is a symbol of both fertility and speed, so it means you're a premature ejaculator. Any questions?
That's a bold accusation.
No, here's a bold accusation for you, Peter Albright. I think that, well, now I know that you and your wife knocked over the First National Bank of Guatemala all those years ago to found your seed money for your Ants in the Pants company. Then you set up the Ants in the Pants company with your dirty money. Not dirty because it's from Guatemala, just to be clear. Just dirty because you stole it instead of earning it honestly. You created this outdoor pants empire, and then you decided that that wasn't enough. Isn't that right, Peter? You decided you wanted to have it all. So you seduced your next door neighbors. You bought that mansion, that old mansion, beautiful estate right next to the Christian Science reading room, and then you tricked those poor saps next door who were blown away by your beautiful wife and your piles of money, and you tricked them into thinking you were their Tom Cruise, and they made you. They saw what they wanted to see. They decided that you were the prophet, and you said to yourself, well, hey, if I can convince these chumps that I'm actually the prophet, maybe I can assemble this entire army of undead creatures. And maybe if I just think it hard enough and put it on my vision board, maybe I can make it true. And now you're here down in Guatemala to make that a reality? Just say yes if all that was right.
You know, there's only one way to prove whether or not you're a prophet, detective.
Is it the prophet tattoo?
And that's to fulfill the prophecy. Gwendolyn, come here.
No.
Detective Riley, we're going to get to see a prophecy. We should stop him, but I want to see this.
So Gwendolyn hops atop the steer, shedding her clothes.
Atop the steer? The deer?
Which had been neutered and now looked vaguely like a cow.
And wait a minute, how did I hear that?
You know, I think with the energy in this space, there's a lot of rule breaking going on. Things are not as they seem, narrator.
Ah, I love a good pagan ritual.
For the Guatemalan deer sheds its clothes, too, revealing it is a Guatemalan steer.
Okay, so if you're keeping score, we got one naked Mrs. Gwendolyn Albright, one naked Gwendolyn Albright, one naked Guatemalan steer.
Gross.
And also, we got Peter Albright, and we, of course, have Detective Riley and Detective Potter, and we have this castle and a prophecy to fulfill.
And also, there are clouds forming in the sky, ominously dark and gloomy.
Thickly.
Here, away! With that, Peter Albright digs his heels into the side of the Guatemalan steer, which charges straight up to the castle's drawbridge, which promptly closes behind him.
Detective Potter whistles. Another deer emerges from the forest, for Detective Potter is kind to all animals. Detective Riley and Detective Potter hop upon its back and ride after the Albrights. And then a bunch of stuff happens. They go up the stairs and they arrive at the top. You don't need any of that detail. They get to the top
of the
temple. They
fight off the gods. There's
two stone statues that actually come to life, and the Bureau Boys have to sword fight them. It's actually quite exciting, honestly. Many brushes with death, but the Bureau Boys avert all of them and arrive at the top of the castle, where they see Peter. Gwendolyn is laying on an altar, and Peter, who now has half of his face decorated evil and half decorated good, he holds a dagger in one hand and a flower in the other.
Gentlemen, you know the prophecy, yes?
No.
We heard about it. Hold on, Detective Potter. We knew a little bit about it. There's the man of many faces. There's gonna be
right.
Some animals that eventually come to life. He has to fulfill the prophecy. I forget what the other part was though.
You decided on Two-Face though, Detective Riley. That seems perfectly to fit in with part of the prophecy accidentally.
It's also important for you to know that there's another person here with more than one face. With that, Peter Albright reaches down towards Gwendolyn and takes off a mask to reveal who is it? Detectives, are you here to help me? It's Marvels. He somehow made his way all the way to Guatemala to be on the sacrificial altar, which as a requirement for the prophecy was for Peter Albright to kill his son.
God! Marbles,
Detective Riley.
Are you kidding me right now?
In court, we cannot let anyone know how we were talking about how hot Peter Albright's wife was. Okay? Let's just scrub that.
Detective Potter pulls out one of those flashy things from Men in Black and erases everyone's memories for the last 60 minutes.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, I do remember that prophecy, Detective Riley.
Could you? What? Well... Right. Wait. What? What? Are you Peter Albright?
Oh no, I had this thing set back to 60 years.
Detective Potter fiddles with the controls of his flashy thing and flashes everyone again.
Okay, everyone's memory should be restored. Okay, we'll have to deal with that court consequences when we get home, Detective Riley.
Yeah, we were leering at a child.
Yes. Okay, please stop saying it. We have to try and scrub the record still. Detective Riley, did you see, though? Peter Albright unzipped Gwendolyn's outfit and Marbles was underneath it. Inside of it, I guess.
Peter, you don't have to do this, okay? You don't have to fulfill the... Listen, there's plenty of land. You don't have to bring those animals back from the dead.
Detective Riley, though, don't you see? He settled on Two-Face. The only way he's going to decide is with a flip of the coin.
Oh my God.
Whether he fulfills the prophecy and stabs his son or, I don't know, gives him that flower?
Yeah, that flower in his other hand, that little tulip. It's kind of droopy, but it'll do as a symbol of goodness.
Good call, Detective Riley. That is a tulip because it's Two-Face. That's right. Perfect.
That's right, gentlemen. The flip of a coin determines the fate of the world. Heads, peace. Tails, war. Peter Albright gets ready to flip the coin after twirling it between his fingers to show everyone that it was indeed a two-faced coin and not a trick coin that had heads or tails on both sides. Peter Albright, despite being duplicitous, is not a cheater.
Detective Riley, I'm surprised with all the effort he went through with his costume that he wouldn't have one head and then a marred head on the other side instead of heads and the tails.
Right, yeah.
If he was really into this two-faced thing. Anyhow, yeah, Detective Riley. Peter, are you going to catch it or are you going to catch it and then flip it on the back of your hand? Or are you just going to let it fall and see how it spin around and have all that anticipation? How are you going to do? What are the rules of the coin toss?
Break it down.
All right. The rules of the coin toss, gents. All right. Let's be square, right? Again, one, Heads is peace, tails is war.
Okay.
Heads, I save my son, give him a flower, apologize for all this mess, and pay you whatever else you're owed. Tails, I murder my son, bringing all of the geese to life, fulfilling the prophecy of Black Ash, who is also here, by the way.
I'm here.
Oh, God.
And, of course, bringing my wife back from the dead as well to serve as my zombie priestess while...
Wait, she's dead?
Yes.
Okay, well, Detective Riley, I just want to point out that then we have done our job and solved this. So can
we
you pay us before you flip the coin? Because we're still going to be owed. Can you pay us before we technically
We're talking
did.
To marbles.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. Get out of the way,
sorry, Peter.
Marbles, do you just think you can pay us? Yeah, before we... Because we definitely did. Your mom is dead. I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, my checkbook's in my breast pocket right here. You can just reach in there and take that out and fill out whatever you need and I'll be able to sign it. But I'm all tied up right now, guys.
As Detective Potter reaches for Marble's breast coat, Peter Albright flips the coin. It comes up tails, which is the bad one. He tries to plunge the dagger into Marble's heart, but Detective Potter's hand is in the way. He stabs Detective Potter through the hand, which hurts like hell.
And Detective Potter famously can't clot blood, so blood is getting everywhere, all over Marble's, all over the altar. It is disgusting.
Marbles is virtually drowning in a fountain of blood from Detective Potter. But Marbles, being a sly, hungry little fucker, starts swallowing the blood, swallowing his way up to the very blade of the knife, eating away at the blade itself.
Narrator, I would not have believed it had you not described it. But you're right. Marbles eats the dagger. And somehow, as he's chomping away at the blade, it closes up the wound on Detective Potter's hand, and he stops bleeding. We've seen some shit, Narrator.
Boy, have we. Now being without a blade and without a wife, Peter Albright stands alone, looking at his blood-soaked son, still alive, and the two detectives that have vowed their life to take him down.
Well, I don't know that they vowed their lives, Narrator. I mean,
I figured we should add a little extra drama.
All right, some stakes. Okay, yeah, they vowed their lives. We didn't see that part, but on the way over to Guatemala, they vowed their lives.
What do you have to say for yourself, Peter? You've been stopped by your own son.
Well, and me.
Oh, Detective Potter, I'm sorry. Come here.
Also, I'm feeling pretty woozy. Hey, what blood type are you?
O negative.
Perfect.
Shit.
You detectives, you didn't have to noodle your way into this at all. You could have stayed away. You could have stayed in your little town, in your little basement. You didn't have to be a part of this. But no one foils Peter Albright. Not even my own son.
Dad, I'm sorry. I was just so hungry and I didn't want to die.
Marbles, you're no longer my son. With that, Peter Albright picks Marble up off of the table, who has ballooned to the size of a bowling ball from all of the blood and knife he has eaten, and throws him directly at the Bureau Boys, knocking them over like bowling pins. Strike one.
Oh, that was a bad... He mixed two sports, Detective Riley.
Oh, I get it. Well, I kind of don't. I don't watch sports.
Just that Peter Albright scrambles back down the stairs of the spiral, past the guards made of stone, out onto the beach, running away towards his steed, when suddenly Black Ash appears, holding his two pistols, as usual.
You thought you could get away. You didn't even fulfill the prophecy. And now my congregation's gonna know I'm a fraud. You're done, Peter Albright. You scorned my church the first time, and now you've scorned it again. Prepare to pay the price in lead.
No. Black Ash. Anything. I'm a trillionaire right now. Look at the market. Look at the market. Ants in the Pants is through the ceiling. Through the roof. I'll give you anything. I'll give you any money. I'll be your Tom Cruise.
Money doesn't matter to me anymore. All of my credit cards have already been canceled because pictures of me wearing all this ash on my face has gone viral on the internet, so I've kind of been locked out of polite society. So this is where it all ends.
Black Ash draws his two pistols and points them at Peter Albright. He fires each pistol until the clips are empty. Peter Albright spins as each slug tears into his flesh, and he falls into the sea, definitely dead.
There's definitely no way he's coming back from those shots.
Nobody better get any ideas, narrator.
Yeah, third narrator who's jumped in on our narrating. It's kind of been fun, though. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for the invite.
Anything you'd like to plug, third narrator?
Hold on. Let the third narrator continue narrating the scene.
Peter Albright's body was taken away by the waves, but as the tide subsided, all that was left was a giant question mark.
No, narrator, we just cleared it up. What questions were there left?
I think he's insinuating that Peter Albright maybe morphed from Two-Face into the Riddler upon death. Yes?
That's, I think, more clever than the other narrator was going for. I like it.
It's a trope, narrator, in comic books that the death, you know, the villain doesn't really die, but, you know, the case or the issue can end, right? Peter Albright could still be alive and out there, just not relevant to this case anymore, which we've solved.
I forgot, narrator. You're one of the narrators. You're one of the Comic-Con narrators that you dropped in on our spot. I get it now.
And let's not all take credit. I don't think we solved this case at all. Let's go back to the Bureau Boys.
Well, Detective Potter, we solved this case.
You're goddamn right. I think we're like 7-for-7, Detective Riley.
Easy wins.
We solved it the second we found out that Marbles Albright's mom and Peter Albright's wife was dead.
Right.
Okay, Detective Riley, one last question, and maybe you can answer this, Marbles. Why were you dressed up like your mother? Was the zipper locked or something? Like, why did you agree to that? You also acted like your mother. You put on this fake, like, female-sounding voice and gave us all these clues. Why not just say, it's me, Marbles. I think I've done part of the work for... Wait a minute. Were you just trying to get out of paying us?
Guilty.
Oh, Marbles, you little shit.
I hate you so much, Marbles.
So, Detective Riley and Detective Potter, pick Marbles up and throw him into the ocean. But only, there were almost no witnesses, except, of course, for Black Ash. But what the, who's going to believe that, racist? So...
The waves carry away Marble's body, leaving behind a question mark. And then, narrator, a title card comes up from the bottom of the screen saying, "The end? Question mark?"
And I just like to say, narrator, that now that that case is over, the boys did end up getting back home to the States, their state, and their home.
Which is ill-defined. Hill Valley, in the small town of Hill Valley, you know. Specificity, narrator.
Yes. Detective Riley moved back in with Detective Potter in the haunted mansion.
They vowed never to talk about finding Marbles attractive.
Or admit murdering him. Yes, yes.
And life went about that way for days. Days stretched into weeks. Weeks stretched into months. Until one day, a new case darkened their door.